You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We got a great show for you. I hope you guys are enjoying these episodes. We enjoy doing them for you, and we would love if you guys give us a rating or review on iTunes or any podcast app, however you listen to the podcast, and also share it with a friend. We want to try to reach as many people as possible, and the only way we're going to be able to do that is with your help. All right, so like I mentioned, we got a lot of great info. We have an awesome episode for you guys today. And to let you know how awesome it is, I'm going to throw it over to the lovely lady sitting next to me.
And I'm going to catch it. Oh,
wow, you are
a little punchy right now.
There you go.
So we're going to talk about the thing that made me especially punchy today, which is our group fitness yoga 108 brutal 2-hour workout. And we have a great interview for you today with the author of the soon-to-be-released Eat Happy book. That is Anna Vecino.
Yes, so most of the episode is going to be the interview with Anna, but we wanted to go over this this charity event we went to today. That happened, probably was the most intense charity event I've ever been to in my life.
It was the hardest work I've ever done at a charity, and I used to work at a nonprofit.
It was both mentally and physically demanding.
Yes.
Just to give you guys kind of a summary, I know we've talked about it on the podcast the last couple of weeks, but it was a group yoga session, and it was to benefit LGBT community of Central Florida and the Pulse nightclub victims. From that horrific shooting that happened recently. So it was a fundraiser, but also kind of an awareness and community builder type of event.
It's basically an effort to get a conscious thought of peace and love and positivity out, not just for this community, but really just to carry it out into the world. So,
right.
I mean, amazing, positive, just really great event.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how else to talk about. There were some people that spoke that got really emotional, that talked about what it meant to them, what it meant as a whole, but it was a huge variety of people that came, and it was kind of magical to get that many different people in a room all doing the same thing for 2 hours.
Yeah, it was over 100 people were there.
108
attendees, and then they had a bunch of teachers there, DJ, and there's a bunch of pictures. I took some pictures and some video. Check it out on the ET Tampa Instagram, ETTAMPA, also on Twitter. But as Shannon mentioned, 108 sun salutations is what the event essentially was. And
did you know what a sun salutation was before this?
I did look it up.
But you didn't know what it was before this event?
Before this event, no. I've done all the movements that are incorporated in that, but I haven't linked it together like that.
Right. So it's a whole vinyasa flow.
Thank you. And that word flow, vinyasa flow. So, yeah, I like yoga. There's a lot of yoga I enjoy, and I practice a lot of movements, like I mentioned, of this that were in the sun salutation, but this, we essentially linked the whole motion together in one big workout. Like Shannon mentioned, it was almost 2 hours.
It was, and the whole idea, people who practice yoga, there's different types of yoga. So one of the types is vinyasa. And it's basically you're matching your breath or your breathing with your movement. So that's why it's a flow. You're basically flowing with each inhalation and exhalation from one movement to the other. Now, I've actually done this kind of yoga since I was 12. So that's why the only reason I know this is because this has just been part of my upbringing. But it's very mind-body. I still think it's my favorite kind of yoga, but when you're doing it over and over again, I think, and you can talk for a second while I think about the number of movements that you have to do.
Okay, because I was about to say, I was going to guess, so luckily she's going to count it out. And we'll definitely put a link to maybe like a YouTube video of someone doing the sun salutation. It was intense, you know, because you're, like Shannon mentioned, you're trying to match the movements with your breath. So inhale and exhale. Every time you inhale and exhale, you're going to the next movement. Well, how many movements?
12. So it's 6 full breaths, meaning you inhale, you do a movement. You exhale, you do a movement. You inhale, you do a movement. So 12. And it's from standing to basically forward bend to lying down, like push up into a plank kind of deal. And then you're downward dog. And then you come back up and start it all over again.
Right. Yeah. We're definitely going to include that video. I'm going to find a good video for you guys to take a look at because it's... You can imagine doing 108 of those. It got intense for a while.
Well, they called them at the beginning. They called it, this is our 108 fancy push-ups. And my arms were shaking by about, I'm guessing by about 70. They were starting to shake.
Yeah, I imagine how I'm going to feel tomorrow. But it was awesome. And, you know, ETT was represented there. Not only Shannon and I, but a couple other members, Casey and Adrian. They were able to attend and join the big group of people that were both raising funds and awareness and kind of trying to get that
positivity.
One, you know, unified consciousness that Shannon kind of described. So it was an awesome event, and we're now kind of recovering, as you should say.
I had to take a bath and had to like lay down for a little while.
Yes, that's why I'm glad this is a perfect episode to include the interview with Anna. Yeah. So we can kind of rest a little bit. But the interview is awesome. I can't say enough good things about Anna. I actually discovered her through the podcast with Vinny Tortorich, who was a former guest of our podcast. She does a weekly show with Vinny on that podcast, the Celebrity Fitness Trainer podcast. She does the Monday show with him, and she's great. And now she's going to be, Shannon already mentioned, the author of a soon-to-be best-selling cookbook, is how I said, I think, in the interview. But I don't want to give too much away, but I can't say enough great things about Anna and that she was so gracious enough to come and interview me. Let me interview her. Yikes. All right, enough of me rambling and screwing up. All right, here's the interview with Anna Vecchino. Today's guest is an actress, a stand-up comedian, and she's done a ton of voiceover work for numerous TV shows, networks, and ad campaigns. The host of the Celebrity Fitness Trainer podcast and former guest of this podcast, Vinny Tortorich, calls her the best voice in podcast radio working now or anytime in the history of podcasting. She is the author of the soon-to-be best-selling cookbook, Eat Happy. I'm talking to Anna Vecchino. Thanks for joining me today, Anna.
I love your optimism. I love the soon-to-be bestseller. I'm going to get on board with that. Like, we're going to like do it like the secret style and be like, because Nick said it, it's going to happen.
Of course. Positive attitude, you know?
Positive thinking.
You say it, it'll come true. But yeah, I was, obviously you have an extensive kind of resume in entertainment. And the first thing I wanted to kind of ask you about was, how did you add cookbook author to your repertoire?
Well, I mean, I've always been an actor ever since I was young, and I was trained as a singer, and I did ballet for 12 years, so I always liked performing, but I've also always liked food, which probably explains why I never pursued anything with dancing, because dancers notoriously don't eat.
Mm-hmm. I saw Black Swan, so I understand.
What's that?
I said I saw Black Swan, so I kind of understand, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, and it's not healthy, to be quite honest.
But
it's also, you know, some dancers do eat. But honestly, if I had known in the 80s and 90s about cutting out sugars and grains, and instead of trying to do low calorie, do low carb, it would have been way easier to be a dancer and still be fit. But, you know, whatever. So I've always performed, but when you're performing, when you're an actor, you basically have to wait for the phone to ring. And it is an excruciatingly powerless feeling. So we have this beautiful thing called the interwebs that people can create their own content now. So now you don't have to wait for the phone to ring. You don't have to wait for your agent to call you and say you have a McDonald's audition. You could go and make a short film and put it up. You can make a podcast. You can make an animated thing. You can make a web series. You can do whatever you want. So Vinnie Tortorich came to me about 4 years ago, and I knew him through Nancy Wolfson, who was my friend and also the producer of my first demos I made in Los Angeles, voiceover demos. And he said, I've written this book called Fitness Confidential, and William Morris won't do anything with it unless I have a platform. And I was like, oh, I've heard this word platform. And so I already had a food blog called Gluten Free Anna. And what I was doing, I was diagnosed with celiac in 2002, and what I was trying to do was, since I'm half Italian and half Southern, I was trying to replicate all of my comfort food dishes from childhood to be gluten-free, where if somebody came over and I could serve them a gluten-free lasagna or a gluten-free key lime pie, and they would have no idea it was gluten-free. Not realizing that this is really unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, and I was slowly packing on weight, and 1 year... In 2009, I put on 14 pounds in 1 year, which is a lot for my frame. Mm-hmm. And it was, I didn't tie it back then because it was a whole series of other things that happened with discovering there are thyroid issues. But because they didn't, to a regular doctor, my thyroid numbers looked just barely off the normal. So it was a whole bunch of stuff kind of happening at once. Vinny called me and talked to me about his book. And I said, no. He said, can we do a podcast together? And I said, no, I don't feel like, you know, doing all this work for you. Huh. And then I read the book and it was so good. And if anybody out there hasn't read Fitness Confidential, just read it. It's so good. It's partly his memoir of 30 years in the fitness world out here in Los Angeles. It's partly his memoir of doing ultra racing. He's an ultra cyclist. And it's partly an overcoming cancer. And then it's also like prescriptive, saying, here's what you need to do. Don't eat sugars, don't eat grains, and move your body. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. It was written so well that I said yes. And we started creating our own content because I was, again, kind of like, nothing's going on. Like, stuff's going on. I have a home studio. Yeah, I'm recording. This is one of my microphones. I have another studio mic behind me that I do all my voiceovers on. But my schedule is flexible enough that I can create my own content. And it's excruciating waiting for the next on-camera acting job to happen. So we did. And we did 3 shows a week for over 2 years. And then finally I dropped down to 1 show a week and he upped the ante. Now he does 4 shows a week total. So I do the Monday show with him. And it's been such a wonderful experience. We quickly figured out that I should do the food component because he tells people not to eat sugars and grains. And then he doesn't know how to cook anything. So he doesn't know what to tell people how to cook for that. And then I figured out, oh, I can adapt all of my recipes to now be low carb or sugar and grain free, whatever phrase you want to use. You could call it paleo maybe. It's not particularly meat heavy, although I love meat, but yeah. And I'm sure we'll talk about the evolution of that. Paleo technically is dairy free, which I am now dairy free. That, again, that's part of the journey about learning about the thyroid. But yeah, it was a weird transition. It seems like it's doesn't match, but then I was like, well, I'm going to be myself when I'm recipe writing, you know, right. I'm going to like, and so my book's called Eat Happy because I like being happy. And honestly, eating this way has changed the way I feel in general. I like laughing. I'm a stand-up. I'm an improviser. I'm a comedic actor. So, you know, I do cartoons. I voice funny things. So it's like I'm naturally going to have it be a fun experience.
That's great. I listen to you guys on a weekly basis, you and Vinny, and I agree with you. His book, I listened to it on the audio version, which he actually, he reads himself, which I think is a great, great addition to the, to the book. You mentioned the celiac disease, you mentioned the lactose intolerance. What health issues, I mean, what are the kind of the side effects of those diseases that you've come across and that really is another driving force to why you created these healthy recipes for other people that have the same disease?
Well, the interesting thing is that I thought, okay, so when you're diagnosed with celiac disease, you're told don't eat gluten. And then you have a mixture of a panic attack and a temper tantrum that lasts anywhere from maybe 6 to 12 months as you're figuring out how to recalibrate the paradigm in your brain because gluten seems to be in everything that you were eating.
Right.
So I thought I was doing the right thing by not eating gluten. And so what do you do when you don't eat gluten? Well, how are you going to make a cookie? Well, we got to figure this out, right? We have to figure out how to make, well, let's maybe we can use some sorghum flour, some quinoa flour, some xanthan gum, because gluten, frankly, is the binder in flour that makes the pizza crust chewy, you know, that makes the brownie chewy, that makes the cookie chewy on the outside and cakey on the inside. That's what gluten is. It's a protein and it's very binding. And it's hard to replicate that. So that's why a lot of gluten-free cookies and cupcakes taste like crap.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to replicate the texture of it. And it tastes like, it's like a hockey puck or it's like sand. Because a lot of things are made with rice flour and rice flour tastes like sand. Pecan sandies are a cookie that's traditionally and shortbread are made with rice flour and they taste like sand if they're not done correctly. Anyway, so I thought I was doing the right thing by just not having gluten. And what I didn't realize is that the grains are inflammatory, that a lot of celiacs, and this is now much more common knowledge than it was in 2002 when I was diagnosed, a lot of celiacs have what's called cross-reactant issues, meaning that and it's not even lactose intolerant. That's actually a misnomer because it's, for me personally, I've been blood tested. It's the casein, caseomorphin, milk butyrophilin, and casein. Did I say that one?
Yes.
I don't remember. Okay, there's another one. I can't even remember. But there are four elements in milk, four different proteins. The lactose is the sugar in milk, and that actually didn't make me react. It was the proteins that made me have the autoimmune response that made my immune system continue to attack the villi in my small intestines. So I think I'm healing myself just by not having gluten, but I'm having grains, which can cause an inflammatory response. And I'm having dairy, which is also causing an autoimmune response. So I'm just screwing myself six ways to Sunday and not realizing it. Plus, all those grains and sugars are carbs. And if your body's not able to set up, and my body was fine, I could eat whatever I wanted and be super thin, right? Or so I thought. But then I hit a certain age and I was not able to continue to do that. I would put on weight. Then my thyroid slowed down. There's a whole thing that happened. And Vinny and I have a good time talking about this stuff because Vinny is very representative of a simple body type. You know what I mean? And I'm very representative of a complex body type. I happen to be a female, so I represent a lot. We have a little more complicated thing going on with the hormones sometimes. And some men go through this too with thyroid issues, and men do have celiac too. But it just, everything gets more complicated when you have your immune system attacked. So whether you have lupus, MS, celiac, Hashimoto's, Graves, Raynaud's syndrome, like any sort of autoimmune, it's going to be more complicated when you're trying to heal. That being said, when Vinny said give up sugars and grains, it was like a light bulb went off. I was like, that's what I need to do. And I did. And like, it was a game changer for me. I felt so much better. I then had to continue to troubleshoot it because I wasn't 100%. So you asked about some symptoms. So some symptoms that I was experiencing, first of all, I could eat whatever I wanted. I ate so badly that friends of mine were like we were in our 20s and they were like, I'm worried about you. You eat horribly. And I was like, whatever. I can eat whatever I want. I'm so skinny. I experienced gastrointestinal distress all the time. Mm-hmm. I experienced allergies and asthma all the time. So one of the first things that, two things that went away when I gave up the gluten was the allergies and asthma, and the gastrointestinal distress became a rarity. Heartburn became a rarity. I was having terrible heartburn. But then other things, when I gave up the sugars and grains, then more things started clearing up. My brain felt clearer. I felt like I could remember things better. I felt like I had more sustained energy throughout the day. I didn't have mood swings as much. That's why I call my cookbook Eat Happy, because I literally, my brain got happier and I didn't suffer from as much depression by cutting out sugars and grains. I didn't have the ups and downs. And now I can track it. On my birthday, I love to go to a place called Jar and have their butterscotch pudding. So that's the dairy and the sugar, right? Uh-huh. And I go nuts. Like I'm insane. Like someone's injected me with like epinephrine or something. Like I go out of my mind. And the thing is, I was having so much sugar and grains before I didn't even realize that that was what my body was doing. It was going crazy. Like, I just don't have a body that reacts well to processed foods.
Right.
But you don't know that till you take them out for a substantial amount of time.
Yeah, it's funny that you don't know how healthy you can be until you eliminate that stuff. You know, you think you say, oh, I'm pretty healthy. But then if you subtract that stuff from your diet, you realize I wasn't healthy at all. You know, this is where I need to be. And I know that the nutritional research that and information that keeps coming out on essentially a day-to-day basis is just telling us so much more about how processed foods is slowly kind of just turning our insides to mush. I know you guys have recently talked to someone on the podcast about the leaky gut syndrome.
Oh, and, incredible. Kieran Krishnan. Mm-hmm. He's a genius. I love this guy.
I listened to that podcast several times because to him, in the way he explained it, is that that might be the cause of a lot of the, possibly even, I don't know if he said that was the cause of celiac disease, but it could be a contributing factor to people getting celiac disease or any other autoimmune diseases.
Well, listen, I have an open mind. I'll listen to pretty much anybody because I'm looking for answers here. And I think that there are some people who are at the cutting edge of this stuff, and he's one of those guys. And he was basically saying he was equating – the majority of the population has intestinal permeability, meaning that we have roughed up our intestinal linings, our gut, let's call it our gut, our the bottom of the stomach through the small intestines and possibly through the large intestines are permeable because we have eaten such crappy, chemically laden food that our bodies are attacking itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's trying to protect itself and then it becomes inflamed. And that to me, when he was talking about the experiment that he did with the college students where he paid them $20 to have McDonald's breakfast.
Yes.
And it took 14 days for the inflammation to tamp down from that breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy because think about some place like McDonald's that we all want to look down our noses at, right? But there are times when you have McDonald's. Or you just have to, you have kids, you run through McDonald's, and you're like, or you're hungover, you're like, oh, just all I want is McDonald's. You know what I mean? And think about that. Like, if it takes two, you're making this decision in the moment because you're panicked and you're hungry, and then you're paying for 2 weeks. It makes you go, oh no, it's definitely just never, not even worth it to ever go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Sorry, McDonald's.
It's amazing to me how quick it's really happened because I think processed foods probably came about. I mean, TV dinners were what, 40s or 50s?
Oh, yeah.
And so,
I used to love a TV dinner when I was little. I thought that was the coolest thing to get a Salisbury steak. I loved it how it was like basically like an American bento box of like processed food.
Right.
I thought it was amazing.
And I mean, in a little over, I guess probably, I mean, I would put a ballpark 60 years. I mean, it's already almost changed our digestive system already.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to look at and hear people like him talk about it. All right, so I want to change gears a little bit because I know I definitely want to hit on this book, your cookbook. I'm super excited to pre-order it, and I can't wait till it comes out. What is a recipe that you're excited to, like, would you be willing to share with the listeners that's inside your book?
Well, let's see. Should we do one that's completely grain, sugar, and dairy free?
Sure.
Or should we do one that's just grain and sugar free?
Oh, well, I will, since you are the author, I will give carte blanche to you. I don't know if that's the right way to use that phrase, but I'm just going to say it anyway. So you, it's your choice, dealer's choice.
Okay. Well, here's one I'll do that's to me a pretty easy recipe. It's called Tori's Chicken Legs. And it's from my friend Tori, and we make them all the time. And actually, it can be adapted to be dairy-free pretty easily. And it's so simple. Here's one of my simple tricks. Almond meal. Almond meal is or almond flour. They are slightly different. Almond meal is usually the inside of the almond, and almond flour will have the outside, so it'll be a little more brownish in color. But we use them interchangeably in the United States. And also, it's tough to find these in Europe, I've come to find out. I need to figure out how to send some almond meal to my friends in Italy.
Yeah, they need a Trader Joe's over there, apparently.
Yeah, they don't have Trader Joe's. So, if you, instead of using breadcrumbs, because that's a big thing, people want to know how to make chicken cutlets, how to make meatballs that have breadcrumbs, anything, meat loaf has breadcrumbs, I use almond meal. So, what I like to do is I get chicken legs, and you can get organic chicken legs for a very good price, probably like 10 or a big pack of 10 or 12 chicken legs. And if you mix up just like how you would do fried chicken, except for, you know, you're going to season them with salt and pepper, and you're going to put a plate. You can put a little shallow bowl of milk and a little shallow bowl of a couple of beaten eggs. But you could also just do coconut milk or almond milk. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be dairy milk. So, you know, you season them, you dip them in the milk, you dip them in the egg, and then you dip them in, roll them in almond meal. And they're going to get pretty sticky, but then you put them on a foil line. I like the nonstick foil, but then I always wonder about the chemicals in the nonstick foil. But you can also oil your foil with villicapelli olive oil. And then you roast it at 400 for about 30 minutes. Then you can turn it down to like 325 and do it for another 30 minutes. You turn them halfway through, and it makes fried chicken legs. And it, I promise you, because that's the thing, when you go to a restaurant and everybody else is eating fried chicken, you're going to be bummed out.
Yeah.
You're going to want that fried chicken. And I say, no, take matters into your own hands and make your own fried chicken.
Yeah. Almond meal is a wonder. I think I've used it before to make gluten-free cookies, I believe. But I love it. I know I mentioned Trader Joe's because that's where we buy our, that's kind of the easy place I find it, you know, it's readily available. So I buy it there, the almond meal. Now I have one that I personally want to request to see. Do you have a non-dairy coffee creamer recipe in there?
Not a non-dairy coffee creamer. That's tough, but here's what I do, and this is not in the cookbook, but this is on my blog at annavicino.com. I do every morning, I make a dairy-free bulletproof coffee, my version of a dairy-free bulletproof coffee, which is basically, for me, it's two large pulls of the Nespresso, but you could do, you know, 6 to 8 ounces of coffee in, you know, regular drip coffee or out of the French press. By the way, coffee out of the French press makes me so hyper. It makes me feel like my skin is going to crawl off my body. So I have to stick to the Nespresso. I like the Nespresso. Gotcha. That's my favorite. Mm-hmm. So you put that in your Vitamix, and I do a tablespoon each of coconut oil, always organic, you know. By the way, it goes without saying, whenever you can, to buy organic. If they're lying to us and it's no better for us than the regular, I don't know. I just err on the side of caution with this stuff.
Right.
By the way, we're about to have on Larry Olmsted on the show. We're interviewing him on Monday. He's the author of Fake Food.
Okay.
Yeah. That's going to be a fascinating conversation, because I want to talk to him, because he describes in his book fake food labeling, like with grass-fed beef, with sushi fish, with obviously the olive oil, which I've been screaming about for 4 years in the podcast, how olive oil is cut. Anyway, so we're going to have more follow-ups with that. So anyway, dairy-free bulletproof coffee. Put your coffee in there. I do a tablespoon of coconut oil, a tablespoon of MCT oil, which is medium-chain triglyceride oil, and I do a tablespoon of bovine collagen powder. It's the kind that dissolves very easily. I buy Great Lakes hydrolyzed collagen. I use that one. And I do a couple of shakes of organic cinnamon. And then I do 1 tablespoon of the So Delicious coconut creamer, which has cane sugar listed on the thing. So I know that there's some sugar in there. It says 0, which means that it's probably 1 gram of carb. Mm. But that's also 1 gram of carb for 1/4 cup. So I'm okay with that, because I'm putting a ton of fat in this coffee. So I'm not going to freak out.
Is that what's in the bovine collagen? Is it mainly fat, or is that protein also?
Oh, no, that's protein.
Okay.
The MCT oil and the coconut oil are the fat sources.
Gotcha.
So then what happens is, and I don't always put the creamer in there, because it's actually difficult to find in the stores. It's hard to find a non-dairy creamer in the stores. But if you just did, let's say you took out the creamer, you just did those other ingredients I said, if you whip it in a blender or a Vitamix, it whips that fat into a creamer.
Right.
And so it looks the color of a latte. Yep. And there is no milk in there.
Yeah, I've been buying the canned coconut milk, and it, not the very thick, you know, almost like a
pudding. Cream, coconut cream.
Yes, not the pudding style, but it's actually a little bit thinner. You can actually pour that in and put coconut oil into and shake it up in a blender bottle. And like you said, it makes a frothy latte-like drink, which I enjoy.
It's great. And by the way, and I want to tell people, because I had some guy on Twitter say, like, coconut cream, isn't that loaded with sugar? Because I had posted the orange coconut popovers, which is like a grain-free version of a breakfast popover. And I was like, should say 0 grams of sugar. What are you eating? And I actually emailed him. I was so upset. I was like, what did you buy? And he showed me the picture of a label, and it said coconut cream, just like any other coconut cream that you would pick up in the store thinking it's just coconut cream. And on the back, it said 10 grams of sugar per serving. And I was like, what? And then on the ingredient list, sure enough, the second ingredient, sugar.
Wow.
You have to read labels. I'm telling you, they slip this stuff in.
Yeah, I've been starting to actually tweeted at Ocean Spray this week because I took a picture of one of their 50% less sugar cranberry packages. And so it was a dried cranberries. And on the back, they had the ingredients. It was cranberries, obviously. And then it had soluble corn fiber, sucralose, and sugar added to the cranberries.
Is sucralose Splenda?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So it had real and fake sugar and fiber added to the fruit, the dried fruit. So I was kind of curious. I actually tweeted at them and asked them why they did that. And their response was that, you know, cranberries are tart, so it needs a little sugar for people to enjoy them. So I was like, all right, you know, agree to disagree, I guess.
Right.
But
it's can you find cranberry juice without sugar?
It was actually, it was dried cranberries. It wasn't the juice.
Oh, it was like the craisins, the dried cranberry. Oh. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, you know what? I do know at Whole Foods they have some dried cranberries.
Yeah, they might have it in a bulk section or something.
Yeah, but it is tough to find them not treated with some sugar.
Right, yeah. I've been finding that out lately, too. All right, so I kind of have one last question for you. I know you're a mother. How do you kind of distribute your healthy eating knowledge to your friends and family? Do you find it difficult? Should I just buy your cookbook and give it to everybody for a Christmas present and just say?
Well, I of course wholeheartedly endorse that course of action. So, all right,
so everybody's getting Eat Happy for Christmas.
I am not preachy with this stuff because I find it often backfires and nobody wants to be preached to. I found that I've had a number of friends just come to me. Now, I also have a very loudmouth, preachy friend named Andrea Anders who will tell people that they should be eating this. You need to eat the Vinny way, is what she says. And Anna will tell you all about it. Just call her. So I have had many requests, like, Andrea says you're supposed to tell me about eating the Vinny way. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, listen, my husband is a perfect example. I am married to a man who eats, like I like to call it, ASAG, all sugars, all grains.
Oh,
jeez. I'm NSNG, no sugars, no grains. So what was interesting is that he had a little bit of a health scare and he had to kind of clean his system out. And so he needed to do 30 days with no sugars and no grains and no dairy, I think. And I think he lasted about 3 weeks. He did good. I was proud of him. But what was interesting is that when he did that, he felt so much better that just him naturally doing it was enough for me to then, now when I cook, I don't have to make a starch any longer for him. He doesn't need it. Like, he realizes he doesn't need it. The whole paradigm shift, if I have to have a meat and a starch and a vegetable, is now we have a meat and a vegetable. Sometimes if I'm feeling fancy, I'll make two vegetables.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the paradigm shift has occurred in the household. My daughter came about it naturally because all kids love candy. I mean, candy tastes amazing when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop eating so much sugar, candy starts to taste very sugary. And a strawberry tastes better. But you don't know this until you've gone without it for a little while. My daughter naturally came to the conclusion when she eats any sort of processed sugary-laden food, she'll still have grains. Like, she'll have, like, tortilla wraps. She'll have pasta from time to time, although it's not her favorite. She'll have, like, a bun on her burger you know, but she will not have processed sugary food because she has realized that it makes her almost immediately break out into terrible acne. And if she has it around her period, she says she gets terrible cramps if she ever has sugar around her period. So I'm like, that's something you have to come up with on your own. You can't lecture people like that. You know what I mean? Right. You just lead by example and hope that they pick up on it. But you have to be strong, because or else it's too easy for when they bring the Ben and Jerry, when they're ready for a treat, they're going to go out and get Ben and Jerry's. Now, the other thing I realized is that I have to be protective of when I make a special treat for myself. Like I have 8 of the recipes in the book do have some form of sugar in them. They're in the dessert section. Like for instance, a panna cotta is in there, paleo pumpkin pie, a lemon cake. There are a few things like that that have some coconut sugar or some honey or some maple syrup. Fine. I want them to be homemade splurges, because I've noticed for me personally, when I have homemade splurges, it doesn't affect me the way you go out and eat a processed food type of thing. But I also know that if I make myself that lemon cake, I'll share it with them to some extent, but I also find myself slapping hands away. Like, that's mine. You can go out and eat any junk food splurge that you want to, but that one's mine. But I realize I'm being selfish and I have to share with them if I want to get them on board with eating this way.
Right. No, that's a great leading by example. I agree.
That's all you can do. And that's all you can do in anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you try to be preachy, like you said, it's just going to drive people the opposite direction, and then you won't be accomplishing what you'd set out to do. But like I said, I'm just going to buy your cookbook and Eat Happy cookbook and just give it to as Christmas gifts, or even, you know, what's coming up? Thanksgiving gifts? Maybe I can do that too.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, Halloween gifts. Give that set of candy to the kids who come to the door.
Yes, then we will have so many eggs on our house, so you don't know what to do with them.
You know what's so funny is that if you were to make recipes only from Eat Happy for 30 days, you would gain back your taste buds. You would figure out what it means to not have processed foods. And all the recipes are very easy. Look, I'm a working mom. I've got a lot of stuff to do. I'm not going to sit here and be like, here's a meal with like 42 different elements, and then you have to figure out how to put it together and plate it like a 5-star chef. I'm a home cook. I'm a mom. I'm making easy things with accessible ingredients. Nothing is too crazy. Ingredient wise, you know, the majority of the dishes in there are chicken, beef, and pork dishes, and there are a few seafood dishes in there too, and a few vegetarian dishes. But the sides are there's so many side dishes in there, and that's because it needs to be stuff that we buy from the grocery store. I'm not like trying to like come up with some weird food thing just to be weird. Like, you know what I mean? Here's zucchini, here's steak. What are we gonna do with this? It's got to be simple.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great kind of a send-off for people. Now, how can they find this book? Since they know it's simple, the recipes are healthy. We want to know. I'm sure everybody wants to know, what's the best way to get this book?
Everybody wants to know. And I'm going to tell them. The best way to get it right now, it's up for pre-sale at Amazon.com. The Kindle version's up for pre-sale at Amazon. The Nook version's up for pre-sale at Barnes & Noble, BN.com. And the iBooks/iTunes version is up at iTunes for pre-sale. It's going to go live August 16th. I'm still working out issues with printing, because here's the other thing, guys. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I would like to have the hard copy book of this cookbook look amazing. I spent a lot of time taking a lot of cool pictures, and I want those pictures to look good. I want you to open this book, and the e-version looks gorgeous. It's going to make your mouth water. I promise you. If you go to annabuccino.com, you'll see sample recipes up there. I have at least 200 recipes already on the website. Printing it at an affordable cost has been, I'm bumping up against the wall. So I'm sorting through that.
Well, good.
So the hard copy should be up soon, but yeah, go get the Kindle version. And then, by the way, you don't have to have a Kindle. There's a Kindle app that's free. So for instance, I actually have my own book on the Kindle app on my iMac. And I set my iMac to not go to sleep until like 5 minutes or unless I shut it. So you can have it open and you can be cooking your recipes in the kitchen. Yada, yada, yada. It's great.
Beautiful. That's great. I'm going to be investing in that real soon. I'll go to the pre-order. Actually, I know we have iPads all over the place here, so I'm sure we'll get that on our iPad in no time at all. Now, obviously, you already mentioned AnnaVigino.com. Another way I'll always recommend this, and Vinny's already been on the podcast before. You can listen to Anna and Vinny every Monday on their podcast, the Celebrity Fitness Trainer Podcast. That's kind of how I discovered you guys and became kind of a NSNG super fan, I would say. And I really appreciate all the feedback both of you guys give on Twitter, and obviously now I'm talking to you. So yeah. I can't thank you enough for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody listening is going to appreciate all the advice, and they're going to head to AnnaVigino.com and or iTunes or Amazon to get the pre-order your book.
Yeah, they are.
All right, Anna, it was awesome talking to you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And hopefully it wasn't too difficult for you, and I hope to talk to you in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Anna.
Wasn't that a great interview, Bib?
Yes, it was. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and I really have to credit Anna. She's such a pro. The first question, I was asking it, and then like halfway through, I was like, am I even asking a question right now? What is happening? I'm like rambling. I'm just throwing like words together. I don't even know if they make sense. But luckily, Anna rescued me.
She handled it with grace.
Yes, you can tell how legit she is. And I mean, an actress and voiceover actor acting and then a stand-up comedian. I mean, she does it all. And this book is really kind of another just addition to her repertoire, you know, and it's really kind of come out of the blue, you know, since she was really big in entertainment, but then she was diagnosed with celiac disease and she had to modify her own, you know, her own nutrition in order to be healthy. So, and she gave some great examples of the recipes in the book, and they're not all gluten-free or dairy-free in the book. There's a little bit of variety, like she mentioned. And the example she gave was the almond-encrusted baked chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I kind of didn't even know about almond meal till, you know, I started dating you.
Till me, yes.
Because I know you're using that for a couple recipes for both.
It is a very versatile ingredient. You can use it for sweet and savory.
Did you discover that when you were vegan?
Yeah.
And you started using that a little bit more since, I mean, obviously you can't use...
It was almond meal was really kind of an additional protein source.
Right.
So obviously when you're vegan, vegetarian, getting a good amount of protein and getting, you know, good proteins. Obviously nuts are a great source of protein. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before, but... It's so versatile that you can use it. I used to bake it into muffins, like protein muffins a lot. But then also, you know, you can't eat all kinds of breads when you're vegan. So you would end up substituting for bread. So like bread crumbs types things.
Right.
So it's a wonderfully versatile thing.
Yeah.
I really can't wait to try this recipe.
Yeah, like you just mentioned, she used it essentially as a kind of a coating for baked chicken instead of using fried chicken, you know,
yeah.
Instead of cornflakes and using, you know, oxidized oils or anything, you're using the almond meal and baking it, which makes it so much more healthier and delicious. I know we've done that a couple times before, not quite this recipe, so I'm looking forward to getting her book regardless. It is actually available for pre-order now, the digitally. It'll be out August 16th, so you can pre-order now to get it by August 16th digitally on your iPad, Kindle, Amazon, anything like that. And then they're still looking for the release date for the actual hard copy, because I know she's working on getting all the pictures in there and developed, because she has a lot of really great pictures of her recipes too. You can check it out at AnnaVigino.com. One of those recipes that I asked her about because I was interested was the non-dairy bulletproof coffee recipe.
Yeah.
And she actually described it in her interview, as you guys heard.
Yeah.
And we've talked about bulletproof coffee on this podcast before. You know, butter, MCT oil, or coconut oil whipped up with some coffee, whipped up in the blender to make almost like a latte-like fatty coffee, you know, so... As Anna mentioned in the interview, she can't have dairy, but she still wants to have a fatty coffee in the morning, too, because obviously, like we've already mentioned, it helps you suppress your appetite, so you're not eating as much in the morning or staying away from high glycemic foods. So she uses, you know, coconut oil, coconut milk, MCT oil, and that the bone broth collagen. So it's actually a powdered form. So it's not the broth. It's the broth made into a powdered form.
Yeah, I actually saw a blog post on this recently, and I was going to bring it up to you because I was like, I haven't heard of this before, but it's a thing.
Yeah, bone broth. I've been hearing about it and seeing people sell it, but this is actually a powdered form of it.
It's collagen. Yeah. That's what it is. Like, they sell it in supplement form. Mm-hmm. And you can use it in your food.
Yeah, and she uses it as a protein source.
Yeah.
So she makes a fatty and a protein-full coffee in the morning, which I'm thinking, I might want to try this out.
Yeah, this was on my mental list of things to say. Can we try this?
Because yeah.
It seems really interesting.
That sounds awesome because, as we've mentioned before, protein and fat, eating that, will really keep you satiated a lot longer than filling up on carbs or something like that. So,
it's supposed to help your joints and stuff too. I understand.
Boom, double benefit.
Which I'm going to be aching tomorrow.
Yeah, we gotta invest in some collagen right now. Apparently, yes. But I'm hoping you guys enjoyed the interview. I'm still kind of trying to find my footing on my interviewing skills and whatnot. So. Luckily, both Anna and Vinny, our first two interviews for this podcast, I'm so grateful to them because they didn't have to do it, and they're very popular. Their own podcast gets a ton of downloads. So coming over to the little podcast that could, our podcast. Yay. So I'm so very thankful to them. And like I mentioned before, AnnaVicino.com, go to it, check her out. I'm sure you'll be seeing her on TV sometime soon. I know she makes appearances on Jimmy Kimmel Live every once in a while, and she does a ton of voiceover for ABC. So kind of remember that voice on the podcast, and then if you're watching TV one day, you're like, hey, I know who that is. But also on Twitter, she is at Anna Vicino, all one word, AnnaVicino.
You just include all of her information, yes, in the show notes. Make it really easily accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And of course, the pre-order her book now, Eat Happy. Get it digitally August 16th. And then we'll soon have a release date for the hard copy for you guys to get. Also, while you're at it, if you enjoyed the podcast, as we mentioned before, please give us a rating review. The rating really helps us out get rated on iTunes. The more we get, the more kind of stars and more popular we can reach more people. And another way to reach more people is to get shares. So if you like the podcast, share it with a friend.
Spread the love.
Yes, spread the love and let us know what you'd like us to talk about. I reached out to a local cryotherapy center here in the area, and I'm waiting to hear back if they would like let us record our first cryotherapy session there for our upcoming podcast. So yep. Hopefully I'll hear from them soon. And well, the cat is scratching the floor, so I think that's a signal to shut it down for this week. Babe, you got anything else, or are you pretty much spent?
I'm done.
You are you're yoga'd out.
I'm just done.
All right guys, thanks for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time. If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. 5, 4. Thank you. Oh, Jasmine. There's the outtake for the week already. First time. Thank you, Jasmine. All right. One more time.